Let's call this meeting of the Senate Judiciary Committee to order. It is 1:55 p.m. on Monday, February 26, 2024. Before we begin, I want to thank Juliana Singh, the Senate Judiciary Secretary, who makes sure we have a transcript of our meetings, and Dylan Williams from the Juneau LIO, who makes sure we have sound. At this time, I want to remind committee members and all those in the room to please silence your cell phones. Present today, we have Senator Giesel, Senator Tobin, my Vice Chair, Senator Keel, and myself, Senator Klayman. We have a quorum to conduct business. Our first and only order of business today is Senate Bill 166, Mental Health Psychedelic Medication Task Force, sponsored by Senator Dunbar. This is the first hearing of the bill in the Senate Judiciary Committee. Here to present the bill is Senator Dunbar and his staff, Seth Tigarian. Please come forward, identify yourselves for the record, and you may begin your remarks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. This is Forrest Dunbar, Senator for District J. I appreciate the committee's time today hearing Senate Bill 166, which establishes the Alaska Mental Health and Psychedelic Medicine Task Force. The goal of this legislation is to be ready should the federal government approve psychedelics for medicinal use. It is not the intent of this bill to legalize or advocate for the legalization of these substances. Conditions such as PTSD, depression, anxiety, substance use disorders, and TBI are highly prevalent in Alaska, particularly among veterans and survivors of domestic violence. Advanced trials show that psychedelic-assisted therapies can be effective in treating these conditions. The task force will explore how psychedelic-assisted therapies would fit into Alaska's healthcare system. It would meet at least four times, submit a report of recommendations to the legislature and the governor by December 31st, 2024. Proposed members include healthcare professionals, Alaska Native communities, veterans, and mental health advocates. And I'll pause my prepared remarks here to say one of the lessons learned in other states that have gone down this road is that it's important to include indigenous voices who have been using these in traditional healing for many thousands of years in some cases. And so we tried to include indigenous voices in a way that it wasn't done in some other states. So continuing, the task force will address questions such as what barriers exist to the implementation and access of these therapies, what licensing and regulatory requirements should exist, and other guidelines that may be appropriate for the safe integration of psychedelic medicine into Alaska's healthcare framework. On February 9, 2024, the FDA accepted a new drug application for MDMA for treatment of PTSD, with a decision expected this August. I'll also say here, the version of this bill you might have read when it was first introduced was changed pretty significantly in the last committee based on work that's being done by the other body on its companion bill. That includes clarifying that this is not about advocating for legalization. We added two new seats, one for nurses and one for counselors. And we turned this from an executive into a legislative task force, similar to the food policy task force. And because of that, it no longer has a fiscal note. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have, or we can go through the sectional with my staffer.
I don't see any questions. No, if you want to have your staff proceed.
Great. For the record, Seth Tigarian, staff to Senator Dunbar. So section one adds a new section to the uncodified law of the state of Alaska to establish the Mental Health and Psychedelic Medicine Task Force in the legislature. It establishes the purpose, membership, process for electing the chair of the task force, process for filling vacancy, compensation of the task force, there is none, schedule and timeline for submission of the task force report and recommendations, and the termination of the task force at the convening of the 34th legislature. Section 2 establishes an immediate effective date upon passage of the bill.
Yes, Senator Tobin has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking through Section 1 of the legislation, and I see a pretty comprehensive list of folks who would be appointed to or members of the task force. And I'm going to ask about one position that I see is noticeably absent, which is a position from law enforcement. As we're watching what's unfolding in Oregon around some of their decriminalization of particular types of controlled substances, one of the things that have come up is that they're just missing a voice who might be able to provide some insight on legal ramifications or interpretations of boots on the ground, on how some of these systems might need better training and support from the law enforcement folks. And so I'm wondering if there might be some, why that position was missing, and if there is something that I am missing in not seeing that membership present on this list.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, if I might. Thank you, Senator Tobin, through the chair. You know, this is primarily a bill about licensing, not legalization. I think that's probably the central driving thrust. This was always considered to be a task force primarily dealing with the commerce, community, economic development, which is why we started in labor and commerce. You know, whether or not the substances are legalized is sort of out of our hands. It's the federal government. So I think similarly, I mean, these are going to be treatments similar to ketamine, for example, which is already a treatment, or, you know, pick any medication, that we don't usually primarily rely on law enforcement. Instead, we rely on licensing and, that kind of regulation. So I think that was sort of our primary motivation there. I certainly wouldn't be opposed to public safety being on here. And I'll say that we have tried to speak with every one of these organizations to get them on board, wanting to send someone. So, for example, at the last committee of referral, Commerce, Community, and Economic Development, the representatives say that they are eager to participate in this task force. So, you know, I think for that reason, because we're talking about a regulatory scheme around licensing, is why the law enforcement wasn't the primary focus of the task force.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And that's helpful to understand. I'm thinking back to my assembly members' push to allow for our public safety officers to access marijuana for treatment purposes, and how insightful and impactful it has been to hear from those who serve on our front lines of how some of these pharmaceuticals and medications and substances can help them turn away from other types of interventions. So I'm thinking also from an aspect of not necessarily just enforcement, but also from input that might be helpful for those on those frontline positions.
Senator Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Dunbar, thank you for bringing this forward. Couple just sort of mechanical questions for you. The benefit of putting it in the legislative branch instead of the executive is that you can do away with the fiscal note. The downside is who will provide staff support to this commission? Who's going to gather up the things and the research and put together the agendas and all that stuff?
Thank you, Senator Keel, through the chair. Partly my office, I intend to be involved in this and use our staff if we can. I believe that there are a number of other organizations who might be interested in providing assistance, who have indicated they are very interested in this work. But I don't deny it is a challenge. But we have seen successful examples. The Food Policy Task Force is a good one, right, where we had nonprofits provide a lot of the money and support, along with real work from the legislators that helped to pass it, the task force.
Thank you,
Senator Keel.
Just a question on time frame. It is ambitious. Mm-hmm. I think, if I could imagine your very best case scenario, you might have this enacted by the end of March to have a final report out by the end of December. I think when I was in municipal government, we put together a task force after the marijuana legalization. We really didn't have as many issues to look at municipally as this task force will. Took us a little more than a year meeting every other week. Are you comfortable with this December, end of December deadline, or should we consider giving them a little longer to complete the work and get us a report?
Senator Keel, through the chair. Certainly, if that were amended and the timeline extended, it wouldn't be a deal breaker for the bill. I will say that we have this sort of timeline imposed on us by the federal government. That is, people who are working in this space. So there was a conference last summer in Colorado that drew something like 14,000 people from around the country. There's tremendous interest in these treatments, and so there is, and folks know that they're in sort of the stage three trials, like in the last part of the research necessary for FDA to take action on this. So folks are expecting this by the end of the summer, and that sort of motivates our desire to do this quickly. But I agree with you that certainly it is an ambitious time frame, and I could imagine, you know, them getting out some kind of preliminary report and then perhaps having to do some follow-up later. And hopefully once we get all these people in the room talking, you know, these conversations will continue after the task force has disbanded, because, you know, they aren't being tasked with implementing the regulations. You know, there is going to be a regulatory package that will follow on after this, working with the departments, that certainly will take place in majority of 2025, we'd expect, or even 2026. So, you know, I hope we can get it done by then, but I agree with you that it's a aggressive timeframe.
Senator Tobin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I know that if this completes its journey to the legislature, that it will join places like Washington, Texas, Nevada, Minnesota, who all stood up similar task force. And one of the things my helpful staff has been helping me understand is that many of those states who propped up similar task force have expanded the scope so that it's not just about mental health. It might be about PTSD, long COVID treatment, looking at potentially depression. And I see here on page 2, line 1, it says ongoing mental health crisis. Do you think that encapsulates some of the other applications that psychedelics might be able to have in treating things like long COVID, depression, PTSD, or, yeah, do you think that that is encompassing enough?
Senator Tobin, through the chair, I think it is, but I also think that it'd be better to hear it from some of our invited testimony. So we have several testifiers that should be able to speak a little bit to that.
Good. Okay, I actually have one very technical question. And in your, on page 2 of the bill, in your legislative members, you have both of them, one appointed by the Senate President and by the Speaker of the House, but they're not in an ex officio capacity. Is there a reason that they're not ex officio? And I ask that because another instances that I'm familiar with, we've had them ex officio.
To the chair, I don't think that was that is a topic that has not yet been thoroughly discussed. Members working on this, if you think ex officio is more appropriate, then certainly I'm not opposed to that.
I'll just make my observation that I think in the instances where we have had people from the legislature appointed to groups, but those weren't legislative committees; those were executive branch committees. I think the theory was that they can't really speak on behalf of the legislative body. They can only speak on behalf of themselves. But just something we can talk about. Okay. I don't see any other questions. So we're going to go to invited testimony. And I think in the room is Caitlin McKinney. Ms. McKinney, if you want to come forward. We also have 3 people online, but we'll start with those in the room. Ms. McKinney, if you want to come forward. Welcome to the Senate Judiciary Committee. It's been a long time since our EMT refresher class.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you so much for your time. I guess we're at afternoon now. Yeah, good afternoon. my name is Caitlin McKinney. I'm a therapeutic backcountry guide. My job as a social worker is in specializing in taking veterans with complex disorders of trauma and physical disabilities into the backcountry for therapeutic and restorative expeditions. It's in that work that I have been exposed to a large number of clients, well over 24, who have also participated in psychedelic-supported assisted therapies research. And an overwhelming, resounding voice has come from that firsthand experience from those veterans of this just being an incredibly life-saving modality. Several of them referenced the fact that they would not still be alive had they not had access to that treatment. And that's where some of these treatments really thrive, is in those treatments that are otherwise available resistant. So depression that is treatment resistant tends to see great benefit from access to psychedelic therapies. I'm nervous. All right. But what I
take a moment.
What I think is also important to acknowledge is that these treatments were extracted from the American public on false pretense. And knowing that that information is faulty and that these are not, in fact, harmful tools, that they're actually mechanisms of wellness, and they've been utilized within the medical industry and also within Indigenous communities as healing modalities for a very long time. And now, today, the data does overwhelmingly demonstrate that this is something that our individuals and our communities as a whole can stand to benefit from. And Ms. Tobin, to your question.
Senator Tobin.
Senator Tobin, thank you. I've dropped the title. To answer your question, you spoke to post-traumatic stress disorder and depression and what was the third? PTSD. All three of those are mental health affiliated conditions. So I do believe that the verbiage of mental health crises, all three of those would fall within that. And also, I appreciate your recognition of the fact that it is not simply something that can be reduced to exclusively an intervention for the most extreme mental health conditions. So with that, I'd just like to say that as a member of the community, as a social worker, and as a veteran myself, the capacity of our government to support the restoration of liberties is pretty neat, and that with this specific bill allowing for equitable, insurable access to what is going to be federally made accessible to the American public is pretty important, and ensuring that we have well-researched processes that we know will be equitable in their access prior to coming to that hot point of needing to make a decision is really important. I think what we're asking for is for preparedness so that our intention can match our outcomes. Thank you.
I don't see any questions. Thank you very much. Next online, we've got Stephanie Birch. Yes, Stephanie Birch with the Alaska Advanced Practice Registered Nurses Alliance. Ms. Birch.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you, Chairman Klayman and members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. My name is Stephanie Birch. I'm a family nurse practitioner working in a nurse practitioner-owned private clinic in East Anchorage, caring for a multicultural patient population, mostly who have Medicaid, Medicare as a payment source and are very low income. I'm secretary of the Advanced Practice Registered Nurse Alliance. The APRN Alliance represents policy concerns of the 1,800 Advanced Practice Registered Nurses in Alaska, including certified nurse practitioners, certified nurse midwives, nurse specialists, and certified registered nurse anesthesiologist. As independently licensed healthcare professionals, we play a pivotal role in meeting the healthcare needs of Alaskans and helping to design systems of care in which they receive. I'm testifying in support of the passage of SB 166, establishing a mental health and psychedelic task force. As a sizable number of my patients have significant behavioral health concerns and conditions, with many of them experiencing severe trauma as a young child, teen, or adult. Most have never been treated for this trauma due to lack of resources, supportive family structures, difficulty accessing primary care due to their Medicaid insurance, and most importantly, the lack of easily accessible behavioral health resources. As a result, to no one's surprise, many utilize alcohol and street drugs to manage their symptoms. While the use of psychedelic drugs is certainly not the starting point in the care of a patient who has experienced severe trauma or has severe depression or other mental health conditions, it is an important tool that needs to be readily available for patients who are referred for treatment. Treatment settings need to offer a multidisciplinary approach when therapies such as this, using drugs that are psychedelic in makeup, such as these are offered. a task force made up of a group of multidisciplinary members, including advanced practice registered nurses, is an important first step in assuring that the use of psychedelics will be managed appropriately with a fully supportive team available to the patient. A well-designed task force that is time-limited has the potential to provide evidence-based multidisciplinary guidance to Alaskan healthcare organizations and licensing boards on how to create accessible, ethical, and effective healthcare using psychedelic modalities. On behalf of the Alaska Alliance for Advanced Practice Registered Nurses, we thank you for your time and urge you to support the passage of SB 166. Thank you.
I see no questions from the committee. Next we have Bailey Stewart calling from Palmer. Ms. Stewart.
My name is Bailey Stewart. I speak on behalf of Stewart Consulting. Good afternoon, Chairman Clayman and Senate Judiciary Committee members. I'm an adjunct professor at UAA, educating students on the subject of cannabis science regulation. I own the first cannabis retail to open in Matsu Borough, and I serve on the Alaska Marijuana Industry Association as the chair of the Public Relations and Governance Committee and Limitless Events, a veterans nonprofit. I come to you today in support of Senate Bill 166. Given the experience I have in a Schedule 1 substance, I do believe it is in the best interest of the state of Alaska to begin holding these discussions. Currently, these substances are in Phase 3 clinical trials, meaning human trial, and I do see the future of mental health medicine encompassing psychedelics in therapy as an additional tool. And I want to take a moment and point out that additionally, in January, the Department of Veterans Affairs issued a request for proposals to study the use of certain psychedelic compounds in treating post-traumatic stress disorders and depression. This is the first time since the 1960s that the VA is funding research on these compounds, and the state of Alaska should be prepared for when the time comes because it's looking imminent. I believe it is important to the public health and safety of our veterans and residents that we begin having these discussions and what takes place following FDA approval of psychedelic substances as medicine and what it could possibly look like for the state of Alaska before the event takes place and to discuss this framework on how these substances will be regulated. While studies show these substances can be a great use to medicine and facilitate in mental health of our veterans and residents, I do believe it is important that these substances have anticipated regulatory framework before FDA approval. Having experienced marijuana legalization in this great state before having regulations in place, I saw firsthand the confusion it brought to the public at large. While legalization and federal FDA approval are two different things, I do believe it is important to prevent confusion with practitioners upon FDA approval and provide anticipated framework for providers to include in their practices. With no physical note, I see no harm in allowing these educated volunteers from holding important conversations, especially with Indigenous voices involved, in preparation for these substances to be approved by the FDA and provide guidance in the regulatory framework to the state of Alaska. The members of this task force will be giving at almost no cost to the state and could be vital in preventing the misuse of these substances and facilitating and addressing the mental health crisis that the state of Alaska is currently experiencing. I want to be clear. I am advocating for discussion on regulatory framework to protect our residents. I ask that you support SB 166 and let the state of Alaska begin preparing for anticipated psychedelic medicine use in a manner that keeps public health and safety in mind. Thank you, Chair Clayman, and members of the Senate Judiciary Committee for your time and for taking my public testimony today. I'm open for any questions.
I don't see any questions. Thank you very much. Next for invited testimony, we have Colonel Beth Ann Law. Colonel Law.
Good afternoon. My name is Beth Law. I am from Wasilla. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to speak to you today. I am in support of SB 166 or House Bill 166. I am retired from the Army after 34 years of service. I did spend 14 years on active duty here in Alaska. Briefly, my trauma background is I'm a survivor of alcoholic parents, several sexual assaults during my time on active duty, rape. I was raped twice, held hostage for 3 days, the same guy also tried to kill me. I'm an Iraqi, Operation Iraqi Freedom combat veteran, and in 2009, I was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer and given 2 years to live. I did chemotherapy for 2+ years every 3 weeks, and I was also the caregiver for my sister, who passed away in 2012, my father, who passed away in 2014, and a very good friend in 2015. All a roller coaster ride with the tests involved with their caregiving and me struggling to survive, lots of depression and anxiety. During that time, I experienced years of multiple antidepressants and mood stabilizers to combat the anxiety and depression. To include 2 years of monthly therapy in-person training at the Combat Veterans Center in Wasilla. I found a retreat in Jamaica called Myco Meditations. It's a one-week therapy session. Three sessions of psilocybin was administered. They have the medical doctors, they have therapists, they have facilitators. And everyone there had their own dedicated facilitator and or therapist with them to guide them through their journey. They also have integrated sessions that are built into the process so that everyone has a chance to explain what they went through and to integrate that back into society. I would like to say that this is not something to just go out and get high and run around naked in the woods or anything like that. It's a very difficult work to do. It's helped me with my fear of dying. Like I said, it's been a roller coaster ride since 2009. My anxiety and my depression, let alone my PTSD. I think that we should do everything that we possibly can to help my brothers and sisters who are suffering from some of the same mental health situations that I have found myself in throughout the years. And I am available for any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I do not see any questions from members of the committee. That's all we have for invited testimony. And I don't think there's any other questions from committee members. We are going to go ahead and open public testimony on Senate Bill 166. We have one person online who's here, I believe, for public testimony, Megan Lingle. Ms. Lingle, if you want to identify yourself, then you can proceed. We generally limit public testimony to 2 minutes per person, so if you could try to keep within that time, that'd be great.
Thank you. Hello, I am Megan Lingle, calling in from Juneau, Alaska. I'm a graduate student at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, specializing in clinical mental health counseling. I'm calling in to express my support for Senate Bill 166. My passion for mental health advocacy and the potential benefits of psychedelic-assisted therapy align closely with the objectives outlined in this groundbreaking legislation. Growing up in the Native community of Cake, Alaska, exposed me firsthand to the devastating impacts of substance abuse and suicide. These experiences have fueled my commitment to advocating for change and pursuing a clinical mental health counseling career. I believe the incorporation of psychedelic-assisted therapy, as highlighted in Senator Dunbar's bill, holds immense promise for addressing Alaska's mental health crisis. The proposed task force initiative reflects a forward-thinking approach to the evolving landscape of mental health treatments. As a graduate student, I am particularly interested in the therapeutic benefits of psychedelics, especially considering their potential effectiveness in treating mood, anxiety, and substance use disorders. The acknowledgement of these benefits by the FDA and the proposed exploration by the task force align with the transformative impact that psychedelic-assisted therapy could have on individuals dealing with trauma, addiction, and other mental health challenges. I commend Senator Dunbar for recognizing the importance of involving representatives from diverse healthcare needs, including Alaska Natives, veterans, and survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. It is encouraging to see an emphasis on the inclusion of Alaska Native communities, being that I am an Alaska Native woman from the Tlingit tribe, and in crafting regulations and legislation for a psychedelic medicine, ensuring the unique needs and perspectives of these communities are taken into account. The proposed examination of barriers to psychedelic access, insurance and licensing requirements, and regulatory pathways within the Alaskan context demonstrates a proactive approach to preparing for the potential of federal legalization. This aggressive stance is essential to ensuring that, when legalized, psychedelic-assisted therapy becomes an accessible and viable option for those who can benefit from its therapeutic effects. In conclusion, I urge the Senate Judiciary Committee to support Senate Bill 166. This legislation represents a significant step toward addressing mental health challenges in Alaska through innovative and evidence-based approaches, and I'm confident that the establishment of a psychedelic medicine task force will pave the way for a more comprehensive understanding and integration of these therapies, ultimately benefiting the mental health and well-being of Alaskans. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much. I do not see any questions. I don't have anybody else online. Is there anyone else in the room that would like to provide public testimony on Senate Bill 166? Hearing and seeing no one, we're going to close public testimony. This time we're going to hold the bill for further review. I will note, just sort of on a personal level, I think when she was 85, my mother-in-law at her 85th birthday dinner, which was a fairly large family gathering, few people with it. She has been a lifelong, she's a psychiatric social worker, has always been one who disliked any and all psychotropic medication. And there was little barrier she had to disapproving of any psychotropic medication. And somehow the discussion led into the microdosing of psychedelic drugs, which is this about. And she had no interest in these, but others at the table thought it was a very interesting discussion. So this is actually a topic that has been out there in the public discussion for a while, because it actually made it into a birthday dinner in my family. So with that, we are going to hold this bill for further review, and we're going to adjourn for the day. Our next meeting is Wednesday, February 28th at 1:30 p.m. If anyone is considering offering an amendment to Senate Bill 166, Mental Health Psychedelic Medication Task Force, sponsored by Senator Dunbar's office, please let our office know and submit them electronically by 5 p.m. on Friday, March 1st. And with that, we're going to stand adjourned. The time is 1:27 p.m.